Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Nick Augustine, and I'm here with Attorney Leslie Barrows of the Barrows Firm in Fort Worth, Texas, serving Tarrant County and the greater DFW Metroplex in family law, criminal defense, juvenile law, and estate planning. This is the Barrows Firm Law Review, a monthly internet radio show podcast featuring information about Texas law and events that affect families and the community of attorneys and professionals who serve them. Attorney Barrows is our featured guest today as she shares insight and information about how to survive the holiday season with so many challenges on friends and families as people face challenges involving family law, criminal law, and estate planning. For more information about the Barrows Firm, please visit barrowsfirm.com and find them as well on Facebook and Twitter with the handle Attorney Barrows. Do not forget to stop by the firm's testimonials page on the website and on LinkedIn and avvo.com. Today's program is focused on 2016 holiday survival tips with Attorney Leslie Barrows. We're going to talk a little bit about what no-refusal weekends are all about and what should be your expectations, rights, and recourse under Texas law. We'll talk about how to make it through holiday celebrations and parties involving families who may be going through high-conflict situations. Also, we'll talk about addressing the needs of aging relatives and being sensitive about estate planning. We'll also talk a little bit about creating new traditions and new expectations as families grow and change. I'm here again with Leslie Barrows, and she is the principal founder of the Fort Worth Barrows Law Firm. Her firm's main practice areas include family law, criminal defense, and juvenile law, which keep her consistently challenged in these dynamic practice areas with cases and clients involving all kinds of matters. And when winning is what matters, many in the Fort Worth area go to the Barrows Firm based on their reputation and winning track record over the past decade. Leslie Barrows earned her undergraduate degree from Sam Houston State University, and she earned her law degree from the Oklahoma City University School of Law. She is a member of numerous organizations, primarily focused in Tarrant County. For more information about the Barrows Firm in downtown Fort Worth, Texas, you may dial 817-481-1583. Again, that number is 817-481-1583. With general disclaimer, this is a general information program, and advice on this show does not constitute legal advice. Listening to our attorney guest cannot give rise to an attorney-client relationship. If you have specific questions about any of our content on today's program, you should call the Barrows Firm directly and make an appointment to speak to an attorney by dialing area code 817-481-1583. All rights to this broadcast are reserved, and it is time to say good morning to Leslie Barrows.
Morning.
Hello, how are you? You survived one holiday already. Thanksgiving's done. Hey, we got one. Check one off. We got more to talk about.
Yay.
Yay, exactly. I will start with my little preface on the holidays and how I approached it. I had a mixed Thanksgiving. We had a politically mixed crowd, and we all knew ahead of time, don't bring this up, don't bring that up, don't talk about this, don't talk about that. And I'll tell you, it went really well. We talked about food, we talked about weather, and, you know, nice, kept it light. And I was telling my friend who I had over, I said, you know, if we were all of the same mental set and talking about this, we would have gone on and on and on about so much that would have distracted from the beauty of Thanksgiving. So, with Thanksgiving under our belt, you know, we move on. So, Leslie, there are a lot of things that we can, I always like doing these holiday shows because your law firm handles pretty much just about anything a family can encounter and need a lawyer, from going to the party and worrying about if people are drinking, there's potential to get pulled over. We've got no refusal weekends. you know, divorce and family law issues can permeate at our parties. We also have issues with aging family members. Talk about wills and estates and trusts and all that. So, I mean, just about anything can be discussed over the holiday season. So let's just start with, and also New Year's, we'll think about that too. Let's start with no refusal weekends. You've talked before about no refusal does not mean you are just, you know, dead in the water. Go, you know, soak your head. So what are people's expectations? What are their rights? What can they do? What's this no refusal business all about?
So the no refusal weekend, it looks like, you know, we used to have maybe one or two of them, but it looks like now every holiday weekend pretty much is a no refusal weekend. It's just a way for law enforcement to check for, you know, drunk drivers and to make sure there aren't any accidents. I mean, I know you've probably noticed too that all the safety, you know, there's so much construction on our roads that I've been noticing a lot of that where, you know, the contractors, or they have the car, you know, on the side of the road that's smashed up to show, you know, you need to slow down and no texting and driving. But the no refusal weekend is basically just expediting the search warrants for your blood. So they want your blood in order to see if you are above the legal, the limit of the 0.08. And it's just a way that, you know, makes it a little bit easier for law enforcement to do that, because they tell you you can't refuse, but you can always refuse. And you have that right to refuse all of those tests.
So what happens when you do refuse those rights, or you have the right to refuse? So, well, backing up a little bit, say we, you know, with the no refusal weekends, I always think about it as in, you know, the judges are dispersed around the county and they'll show up on the spot, or do they have a way to communicate with the judge to sign the warrant for the blood? How does that work?
It's usually electronically emailed to,
okay.
To the judge. And so if they have their iPad, or it used to be, let's go knock on the judge's door in the middle of the night and get a warrant. But, you know,
right.
With technology now, things have changed. So
it's not as dramatic as
it
used to be for the judge.
Email.
Right, an email. Okay, so
right.
Someone, you know, I mean, I always think it's kind of like that movie Airplane, where they wake the pilot up in the middle of the night, you know, and, you know, honey, put on the coffee. So, all right, so if you do, you have the right to refuse. What happens to you if you refuse? Do you get, do you lose your driving privileges at all? So someone says, I'm going to refuse the tests, no tests, I want to talk to my lawyer. What happens to them?
Well, once the the judge does sign the warrant and they do take you to the hospital to get, and most police departments are still doing blood instead of the breath specimen. But what will happen is you'll get a notice saying that, hey, we took your driver's license for you, because you were, you can even be arrested if it's under 0.08. So if they can prove that you were at least 0.08 at the time of driving, that's the key phrase, then the transportation code kicks in on your license issue, and you could have a longer suspension. And then if you're a minor, there's different rules on that as well, you know, depending on how old the kiddos are. But and there really aren't a ton of ways around that driver's license suspension, but you could always get an occupational driver's license, and your attorney could get you that if you needed it to get to work or to school or whatever you need to do, which is good throughout the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have a good time either way, but it's not going to be as bad if you take the option to refuse.
Right. And you can still drive, right, even if you're arrested and they take your driver's license. You can still drive. You have a right to an administrative hearing. So until you have the 15 days to send your notice into the Department of Public Safety and request that hearing. So you just drive with that piece of paper that the law enforcement gives you until you have your hearing.
All right. Well, it's good information for people. And also, you know, they're out there. And just because we don't have roadblocks here in Texas, A lot of people who come here from other states are used to having that. That does not mean that they're not out there looking. You know, it's failure to signal, failure to stop before the white line. I mean, some of my two biggest pet peeves. I mean, you'll get rolled for that. All right, so let's, assuming that everyone is safe and responsible and makes it to or from their holiday parties, the transportation to and fro might not be as stressful as the people at the party itself. So we have people who are in a whole myriad of situations in life involving divorce, family law, maybe there's custody issues, maybe dad's not paying the child support, all sorts of things. And when it comes to the holidays, the kids are involved, and we don't want to stress the kids out. And, you know, we go to these holiday parties, most of the people we assume have been prepped, hey, Jill's going through a divorce, let's not talk about it. But Uncle Bob in the corner didn't get the memo.
Why are you crying?
And why are you crying? You know, he's a good husband. You need to give him another shot. Come on, you know, you go through these men like
blah, blah. With Aunt Lucy.
Right. You know, I love this family. Happy, you know. So, you know, and the kids are, you know, mom's crying, dad's, everyone's upset, you know. It's like I saw that meme on Facebook. Some kid got upset with his family, flips the table of the turkey over in their face. And assuming that, you know, people are not, locked and loaded at this point, loaded in some part. Anyways, what are some tips for people who are saying, I just want to skip the holidays, but I don't want to have my kids have a bad time, because they'll always associate the holidays with bad. And also people going through divorce too. If you can't, you know, put it, a lot of people wait till January to get divorced because they don't want to have every holiday season, you know, the, oh, remember it was when I got divorced. So what do you tell people who are stressed out and, you know, trying to keep it all together?
Well, you have to breathe, and you're going to have to realize that the traditions that you had before are going to be different. And so maybe coming up with something new, like, you know, you're going to, instead of going and eating at home on, you know, your favorite china with your family, that you go to Del Frisco's to eat Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner. You know what I mean? You have to kind of change it up so you won't be too upset. And a lot of people tend to talk to their kids at various ages that about litigation and divorce and daddy did this and that, you know, mommy did this, but that's just not the way to go about it. You know, you have to be you still have to be able to co-parent with this person, for the remainder of, you know, your child's life together. And you chose to have a child with this person. So, don't forget that. And people tend to forget that, you know, they, had kids with their spouse, you know.
Absolutely. What about Uncle Bob? What do you tell Uncle Bob?
Uncle Bob, you know, you got to have a different something else going on there.
Maybe he just doesn't get invited. Hopefully he's watching football in the other room. You know, maybe.
Yeah, go watch the Cowboys.
You're right. Hey, I'll go watch the Cowboys with Uncle Bob. I'll keep him distracted. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, I mean, so, and I'm assuming also that people have made their plans by now. If not, shame, shame, shame if you are going to try to change your visitation schedule. I mean, some people tend to, I've seen on Christmas especially, that's the time that, I mean, it's even happened to, not even professionally, but friends of mine, where, you know, the kids went to dad's house and dad decided he didn't want to bring them back to mom. And, you know, but, you know, aside from a violating visitation and all that, if people want to change things up or take trips, they're pretty much too late on that, aren't they? Or what can they do to
I mean, I guess it depends on your relationship, right? I mean, it depends on, is your relationship good or not with your other, but, you know, and sometimes too, it depends on the child, but, or your kids' ages, but, you know, maybe they want to be with the stepkids, or, you know, they want to go see, you know, their favorite uncle, or aunt, you know, I mean, what's the harm in making the child happy? You know what I mean? That's kind of where I see it. But a lot of people just don't see it that way. You know, I'm not even going to let, you know, the kids talk to their mom, even FaceTime. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know what I mean? I mean, I've heard stories where kids are locked in bathrooms, you know, on fabulous vacations, you know, and they can't even talk to their, you know, they can't even talk to their family members, you know.
Well, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, one person I know talks about how much money that they spent, actually it was how much their parents spent on all the hearings and everything to get to make the calls on all this. And, you know, that my order says this, and it will, you know, if you violate the order, you know, your head gets lopped off. You know, this is not North Korea. This is, come on, you know, and I agree that, you know, give and take goes a little, you know, it goes a long way in people working together and trying to, again, put it in the kids' best interest too. And, you know, there's also the little adage that this too shall pass, you know, unless you are, you know, a litigious person who is getting married and divorced every year. I mean, maybe we got bigger problems then, but, so high conflict parents. So, let me see some recaps and what we talked about with co-parenting. Neutral places, restaurants are good, new types of celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe what about when mom or dad has a new person in their life? Any tips on introducing that person, or is that going to freak kids out? You know, you could all get together and go bowling the week before, but you do it on Christmas? Whoa, that might be something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the problem is, you know, all of a sudden, well, let's try to talk about this before. I mean, how is this going to happen? Is this going to be, you know, my friend Mary? Is this going to be, you know, my girlfriend or my fiance? I mean, you know, you have to really be careful about introducing kids to, new people. If you don't think that this is going to be, if this is just someone you met last week and you're inviting them to Christmas dinner, you may want to hold off to see if this relationship's really going to take off. You know what I mean? Before you, you know, traumatize your children by, you know, bringing some stranger into, you know, the house that their parents had been living in and now dad owns it, you know, and tries to bring some lady in. I mean, you really have to, you know, take it all in and think of how is this actually good for my kids? It's not what's good for you. It's about what is that the right thing to do for your kids? And I think people seem to just, for, you know, kind of scratch that and just say, oh, well, I want these, you know, my children to know my new girlfriend. And, you know, do they really need to know your new girlfriend, you know? So.
Well, moreover, what happens when the new girlfriend has her own kids that are, you know, coming to the table and all of a sudden your kids mm-hmm. and her kids hit it off and they don't know whether, you know, are these going to be my new, you don't know what the kids' expectations are. They're not, kids aren't stupid. They can tell whether, you know, here's someone who daddy works with versus, you know, another situation. So, think of the kids, put the kids first, and then don't assume that, you know, it's like don't assume that they have it all figured out, but also don't assume that the kids are oblivious because they are from very young ages, right? You know, I mean, they don't have to be that old. Any other thoughts on holidays and co-parenting and divorce? And do you think that people might – do you see a lot of people doing divorce, launching them in December or waiting till New Year's?
I think the people that are launching them this month have been thinking about it, and it's like, hey, I had Thanksgiving and it was horrible. I don't want to do Christmas with them. You know what
right.
I mean? Or
right.
You know, they found their high school sweetheart at the, you know, 10-year reunion, or they're on Facebook or Tinder,
yeah,
and
Facebook.
They think they found the love of their dreams. You know what I mean? And,
right.
You know, that's those people. They're just impulsive and, you know, hey, I'm having more fun being single kind of thing than being married. So
right.
We haven't been seeing
right.
a lot, you know, but you know, we really need to, you know, and with the election and all that stuff going on, I think people are kind of gun shy right now with filing.
Right. Well, we'll see.
People
talking about
bankruptcy.
That really, you know, it's kind of funny how the stigma has gone away with things like that. And, you know, people are a little, I don't know, people used to be a lot more worried about things and people are sort of living by the moment. And, you know, and it can be good and bad, but when people take their lives in their control, you know, that can be a good thing. I mean, we look at so many things that can lead to, you know, to divorce and problems. And a lot of it, you know, you think about money. And when one spouse has exclusive control over the funds, how much is in there, everything else. You know, I've heard people say, I'd rather have a tenth of what, but at least know where it is and know how to manage it and be in control. People want to be in control of their lives. Absolutely. So here's another way that we can be in control of our lives and everything going around is planning for what comes up in life. And you know, I talked to my mother, who my grandma was 96, and you know, so there's, you know, questions, always the questions there. Also, you know, sometimes parents are moving in with others, and we have you know, what happens if someone's going to go to a home, what's going to happen with care. Holidays are times where siblings, adult siblings, are together and can talk about moms and dads and their own issues about creating, you know, get the will done before you travel to Europe. I don't know why. We've talked about this so many times, why people seem to wait till they're going overseas to, you know, get a will done, when in reality all they have to do is drive down I-35 and, you know, meet their fate with just as good of a chance. So let's talk about estate planning.
Okay. We need to do it. And it's like the last thing on your list. You know what I mean? And people in January will be like, I've been trying to do this for 10 years. It's so easy. Like, it's not hard, you know? And people are like, oh, I don't have the money. But you know what? It's you know, it's a little bit of money that is going to save your loved ones a lot of heartache. You know what I mean? And so it's worth it.
Well, I mean, we have insurance on our vehicles and our homes because we're mandated and required to, but wouldn't you also, even if the law didn't require you to have car insurance, wouldn't you still do it? I mean, I still would.
Yeah, and I learned, you know, my mom passed away unexpectedly and going through treatment and for cancer, and I know with my dad, we didn't do a will, and I wanted to talk to him, but he just didn't want to do anything. But at least my mom, before she went in the hospital, we did all that, and I'm so glad that, you know, we did the will, and we talked about things. And I kind of wish, though, looking back on it, that I had talked more about, like, funeral service and, you know what I mean, stuff like that. But you know, I guess it really didn't matter looking back of, you know, that's just not something you want to talk about with a family member that's going in the hospital, you know. But I am glad that we did the will and I got all of her passwords and things like that, because that's the problem now with paying people's bills after they pass, is that, you know, you have to have account numbers, you have to have the passwords, you have to know all that and go on their computer and figure it out. But, you know, that's one thing you really need to do is have the will and the power of attorney and the medical power of attorney as well, and make sure it's one that the hospital takes, because, you know, they all have their separate forms. And so that's just something you have to keep in mind, and you don't want to talk about it, but you're going to save yourself a lot of headache, you know.
Well, especially among siblings, too, because you don't – it none of it is real. You know, my father was sick for 7 years, and he you know, he died basically within when the doctor the guy might as well have put it on the calendar, and he was spot on. And there were a lot of – you know, yeah, absolutely. It was crazy. And, you know, but no one really – you know, you're not really – when it's happening, no one really – you hear it's going to happen, but it's not real until it actually happens. So it's very easy to live with your head in the sand, and you know, it's you're lucky in the extent that you know that someone is planning for you know, leaving this earth soon, that you can write all those passwords down and have these discussions. But it's not always the case. Some people are, you know, fine and fit as a fiddle and are just on their way to church. And boom, you know, you can get car wreck and boom, that's it. I mean, we don't know. I mean, a jet can fall out of the sky. I mean, anything can happen at any point. So even if you're in the best of health and you're not, you know, you're young and healthy. I mean, that's you have to get those things prepared ahead of time, especially with siblings. I bring that up because I've seen too often where, you know, settling mom or dad's estate ends up in court. And siblings are arguing over who's going to be the executor, and no, not my brother. And my brother is a spendthrift. You know, he's a, you know, this, not my sister. She's a drunk. You know, and everyone's fighting over who's divvying everything up and dealing with that. And I mean, it can, the more you can put those things aside up front, I always think is obviously the best. And, you know, especially like you said, planning for things, you know, funeral and services, there's a lot to plan for that people don't realize,
and
parents don't always want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Because then you gotta find yourself, you know, trying to take care of everything, and then you're like having to go to a funeral home and say and pay for cremation and a service and an obituary, and you know what I mean? It's like if you can get all the pre-planned stuff, it's going to be much easier on your, you know, on your.
Yeah, absolutely, and have someone set up to watch the funeral home like a hawk, because their bill tends to get, you know, they put their arm on mom's shoulder. That's $500. You know, they send you flowers in the mail. It's another $500. You got to watch the billing on some of these. I mean, these can get a lot
of
hand.
They tell you that, yeah, because they try to sell you and get you the director and all that, and you're just like, oh
sure.
No, I think I'll just have the church do it, and it's free.
Right.
Kind of.
Well, and also, I mean, and also, what do you do with property? What do you, who gets this, who gets that, you know, does it, well, so much to look at, so much to do. So estate planning, again, it's never, it's true with your kids too. Power of healthcare for mom and dad, you know, or kids or anyone. If someone is in a temporary state of they're incapacitated, they can't make life-saving decisions. So those are other things to consider in estate planning. Any other thoughts on creating new traditions and expectations? You know, one of the things that I've noticed, my Thanksgivings for the last few years have been like a Friendsgiving where, you know, people get away from families and do this thing, and we've had a good time. But, you know, families grow and change. You know, any other words of advice for creating new traditions and expectations?
I mean, like some people, maybe they'll go out of town, or their new tradition used to be, we used to go skiing. Well, now we're going to go to the beach, or we're going to do something else. But, you know, you just have to enjoy and start making new memories. And a lot of people just can't get past that because they're just so, you know, angry or disappointed that maybe, you know, the relationship didn't work out. Just don't give up on your kids. You know, they don't want to be a part of your divorce just because you can't, you know, get along with the other side, you know.
Right. And of course, the mental health side of things, you don't have to be, you know, a cuckoo bird to need to talk to a mental health person.
Right. Definitely. If you think you need some help, you know, then there's help out there.
Also kids,
sure.
Kids at the holiday times. I mean, that's not, you know, do you think that they think something's wrong with them if mommy and daddy are saying, hey, we need to go to the therapist or the person? Might be a helpful thing.
Hey, I would just say maybe we're going to go have coffee, or, you know what I mean? We're having a meeting or something, you know? I just don't know if you have to give them too many details. But, you know, people and people that come back and have relationships and then maybe their possession schedule is not working out and they want to modify. I mean, don't start talking to your, you know, when the kid turns 12, saying, hey, you want to stay with me, right? You don't want to stay with your mom or your dad, right? You want to switch and you want to stay over here more. And then what happens is they go hire an attorney.
Objection
and then
waiting.
They say, hey, I want my kid to talk to the attorney. I mean, the judge. It's like, no. You know.
Right.
No, I don't think
One of the things, I mean, overall, that we should always remember is that humans don't like uncertainty. People like to know what to expect. And even if you have to glaze things over for your children, and just they want to know that, A, they're going to be safe, that you have it together as a parent, and that you're solid as a rock. And, you know, sometimes they say, fake it till you make it. And, you know, that's a practice for a lot of folks. But you know, like with, you know, a lot of people have noticed, you know, at all ages, I myself have noticed, when you take and create some of these new traditions and expectations and do those, and you know, hey, it's been a few years now that we've done this, the things in the past that you were so upset about end up being kind of compartmentalized in little books and chapters on yourself or your personal history. So, you know, it always gets better, and 2017 is a new year, and do you have any predictions for 2017, Leslie?
No, I mean, everything's just kind of, I just feel that, you know, our, I just kind of hope that everything calms down and we don't have to hear Trump on every headline of every, you know, or Hillary Clinton. Maybe things will calm down in January. I don't know. But it just seems like we've all been kind of bombarded by this, by politics lately. And you know, and what's important, you know, is spending time with your family and you know, and enjoying your time, you know.
Exactly. And it's as it has been a very divisive culture lately. My personal thoughts are that once the inauguration is past us, people can slow down. I really do. And it's, I don't blame the people I know. I blame the media and the people who are making money on advertising clicks for keeping stirring the pot. And I say, especially Facebook can be a really threatening place for a lot of folks. Because there's just, you know, you just want to be in a good mood, and then you keep seeing people arguing over, you know, silly things. And the fun stuff, I always suggest do something fun on Facebook. I saw my sister-in-law posted this thing, and I said, oh, you know, show me the last picture you took on your phone, and, you know, put it in the comments section,
funny.
And, you know. Which they are funny because you see, you know, and I saw things like a granddaughter baking, you know, cookies with grandma. I saw a buddy of mine in Oklahoma with a light display and all this. You know, there's someone doing homework, someone doing work stuff. You know, mine was at the gym. You know, just random people's lives and things they do are more substantive than all this other stuff going on. So, you know, like when the Elf on the Shelf is done, put that up and put up all the other crap with it, because I think 2017 is going to be a good year, and I think we're all going to go in a good direction. And if your life completely falls apart, call the Barrows firm, because I can take care of you. So, Leslie, how do, whether it's a traffic stop, someone's, you know, stabbed each other at the Christmas dinner, you know, cheating, you know, marriages, divorces, adoptions, estate planning, juvenile law, all these things. How do people get in touch?
They'll call us at 817-481-1583, and our phones are answered 24/7. So give us a call.
24/7. So that means if you also have a situation where you're getting stopped and you have that refusal thing, put lawyer in your phone. Yep. I always tell people, put lawyer in your phone, and you know, all right, can you call your lawyer if the peers will just, you know, as we end here, if the policeman's at your window and they're asking to talk to you, can you say, hey, can I get my lawyer on the phone, or can I record this? Are you allowed to do that, or are you going to be in big trouble?
Nah, you can do that.
There you go.
You
all right, Leslie,
for sure.
Said so. All right, there you go. All right, well, that's all for now. We will talk to you again soon, and until then, we wish everyone to have a good week. This should be a good few good working, productive work weeks before we hit Christmas and New Year's. So let's go get at it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.